Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Iron Brew Podcast. Brad Mell, Matt Blanchard and Matt Ellis. So we thought we'd just put an episode out because quite a lot of stuff's gone on since the last time we did one. Let's start with some players, I think, actually. A couple of weeks ago, you remember Onorise, he's left, he's gone back to Dagenham and Redbridge, undisclosed fee. There's a quote, well, part of the quote from Keith Hill about that was that it's part of the process of rebuilding the squad. So, Manny going at this point in the season with the sort of centre-backs we have available, what are you making of that?
Yeah, it was an interesting one. Obviously, Delaney's come in and done okay. Taft's back in favour now as well, but I think the timing of it was a little bit odd. Could it have been done in January? It sounds as though Hill tried to do it in January, but just couldn't get it over the line. But it does leave us a bit thin, doesn't it? I think, you know, Jay Rowe, he could probably fill in there if required. But given Millen's out, and, you know, we're a bit short defensively. Thompson, O'Malley, you know, we're a bit short in that area. But for me, it was probably the last sort of, it was a sign of throwing the towel in, really. I'm not saying we would have made the points up anyway with Manny in the side, and I think he's had a really poor season. But yeah, it was a bit of a strange one timing-wise. But, you know, if he was surplus to requirements and he wasn't going to get played, then I can sort of understand it. But yeah, I think the timing was a little bit odd and it does leave us a bit short.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange one. Like, I think it's his last year of his contract, isn't it, or it would have been. So it makes sense to kind of get a bit of cash in where we can, given the sort of dire financial straits of the club at the minute, so led to believe. So, but yeah, it's a bit of a strange timing. But I mean, you know, it's not going to make any difference, is it? Let's be honest. He's not been great this season, and you know, missing him from the starting lineup is not going to make a huge amount of difference to kind of any of the points that we might be able to pick up towards the end of the season.
what about Hill's side of that then? So just that sentence, that extract, part of the process of rebuilding the squad. So, you know, he's always said, hasn't he, that he's got a plan in place for next year, and you know, he's looking long term himself. But I don't know, what do you think of his side of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously if he wasn't going to be part of Hill's plans moving forward, then, you know, fair enough, move him on and get some money from it, as Matt just said. But it does leave us a little bit short. Obviously, we're miles behind the pack now, so I don't think there's any chance, or there was any chance even at that time, that we were going to make the points up. So he's probably looking at it as trying to get him out the door while someone's interested. But yeah, just leaves us a bit short in that position. Obviously, we've got quite a lot of defenders out at the moment. But having said that, you know, he wasn't performing very well. Obviously, he's been giving away quite a few penalties. God knows how many this season, at least three or four, I think. And you know, I think Taft's under contract for next season as well. So it might be that he just wants to look at Taft ahead of next season, just to see whether, you know, he's worth keeping or he's one that we can try and move on in the summer. But yeah, it's one of those. I mean, I wasn't too disappointed to see him go. But last season he had a fairly decent season, considering he was carrying an injury for most of it, various injuries for most of, you know, throughout the season. You know, I thought he looked okay and was probably our best defender last year, but yeah, it's not really worked out for him this year, and I think he's been slowly been getting worse. So yeah, to move him on, as I say, not going to lose any sleep over it, but timing a little bit odd. But you know, you see other teams as well at the moment. I think the National League can sign players up until this week, and you've seen a lot of kind of fringe players from league clubs go out to the National League, whether that be permanent or I think some may have gone on loan as well. So I think a lot of clubs are probably doing it just to you know, utilise that window and move on players that are not kind of required and surplus to requirements. So yeah, it's one of those. I mean, I think any of the players could have left and no one would really be bothered. I think that's just the situation we're in at the moment. Obviously, no real standout performers. You know, you could argue Watson, I'm sure we'll get onto him, has done okay this season, but really, you know, you look at his stats and they've been, you know, you can't say it's been a good season for him when he's conceded that many goals. I know he's not had that much help, but, you know, it's very difficult to make a case for keeping any of these players for next season. And unfortunately, Manny's sort of the victim of that, but, you know, needs must really. If he's going, he's going. And yeah, that's it. You just got to trust Hill at this stage, I think. That he has got a plan in place for the summer, because it's going to be a massive rebuild, and you know, he needs to get it right, and the club needs to get it right.
Well, just on the flip side of that, while we're talking about players, I think one of the very few positive bits of this season as a whole is, you know, the emergence of some of the younger players. And I want to talk about one that's coming in recent weeks. So Harvey Cribb, I think at the Sutton game, he was, you know, the youngest player in the club's history to be on. I think he was only 16, isn't he? He's been playing a lot recently, hasn't he? And he's done pretty well. I mean, actually, a friend of mine from university, he was one of his teachers actually at school, and he's telling me all about him there, and you know, really got on with him, really likes his character, that type of thing. You know, nothing but praise for him, and I think that sort of attitude, you've seen it in the team. He's done really well, but I'm sure he's one that you know, we already know teams are looking at him realistically, don't we?
Yeah, appears so. I know, obviously. Swan said he was under contract for next season when I spoke to him last week. Whether that's the case, you know, obviously he's got a contract, but if clubs are coming in for him, you know, there's rumours that Leicester and a few other teams in sort of Premiership, Championship have been kind of monitoring his progress. So, you know, if he does go to a club like that, then, you know, fair enough, and well done to him. But yeah, he's been kind of a bright spark. Whether he's completely ready, I don't know. You know, I think he's done some good bits in games, but it must be very difficult for him, you know, with that team around him as well. You know, I think if he was playing in a better team, he's going to look even better himself. But I think he's worked quite hard. You know, he's shown some good bits on the ball. I think he looks confident on the ball. And for a 16-year-old, you know, he doesn't look it as such. You know, some of them come into the squad and they're easily pushed off the ball, and you know, you can tell that they're only, you know, he's still at school essentially, and you can tell with some of these players. But I think he has got a little bit about him, and you know, hopefully, if he's here next year with us, he can kind of make a name for himself. But obviously, if there are clubs circling as well, you know, he could be one that gets a move, and if he does, I mean, that's great. But again, with these things, we've probably not seen enough of him, and I know obviously Hill's trying to get him having a good run in the side, whether that's so we can get some more money for him, bump his price tag up maybe, you know, who knows. But I mean, Hill's saying that he deserves his place, and probably, you know, for effort and you know, what he's shown on the pitch, he probably does, because you know, he's certainly been no worse than anyone else, and yeah, the last few games he's done okay. So yeah, hopefully he's here next year, because I think he has definitely got the talent. He looks a good prospect. But if not, you know, he's another one that's kind of come through. Joey Dawson last year, you know, we didn't see much of him. Well, we didn't see any of him really, did we? And lost him. So hopefully, you know, it's not one of those situations where we don't get that much for him. If he does move on, that we get a fair price. Cause I think he's been at the club since he's 8 years old or 7 years old, something like that. But yeah, one to keep an eye on. But yeah, I think you're right. I think his performances, you know, deserve praise, because he's been one of the standouts, I think.
Yeah, you mentioned that you talked to Peter Swan there. We'll do that in one in a second. But let's just look at the team, I guess, in general. You know, there's been a lot of games since we were last on. You know, we had that draw at Crawley, you know, losing to Colchester, Barrow, heavy defeat at Salford, 5-1, you know, 3-0 again recently, Harrogate. It's, yeah, we said it already. I've not spoken to anybody that genuinely believes, you know, there's any chance of us staying up now. But I mean, I don't know. What are you even making of it? I mean, because, do you think it's that? Is it coming down to basically they're just not good enough? That's where I think it is. I don't necessarily think it's effort. I think it's just a case of they are not good enough.
Yeah, we've sort of kind of accepted the fact that we are garbage, you know what I mean? And like, you know, Keith, he's sort of like, he's not really been held to account for the kind of latest performances. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's difficult, isn't it, really? He's kind of apparently already signed a contract and he's going to be here next season. And we sort of know that we're going to be relegated. It's pretty much 99.9999% certain at the moment, isn't it? So it's like, it's just trying to get to the end of the season, just trying to, you know, I don't know, really, be sedated enough to see the results every Saturday, because you know we're going to lose. And just try and, as you said, kind of rebuild for next season. I mean, we said this kind of every season, don't we? You know, we said this last season, et cetera, et cetera. I think that to a certain extent, Scunthorpe fans have been you know, turning a little bit of a blind eye to the performances and the results, because we know it's inevitable that we're going to go down. There's nothing we can do. We know the team's absolutely terrible, as you said, Brad. And I think that, like, you know, what do we do? Like, we know the manager's going to be here next season. We can't really call for him to be sacked. Do you know what I mean? It's we're sort of in a dead zone, aren't we?
There is a sort of in Glanford Park, the atmosphere last couple of games especially. It's strange. It's like, I don't know. It is that. It is acceptance, I think. It's like, I mean, halftime Harrogate, we'd done okay in the first half, you know. It was just sort of a scattering of applause, you know, no real sort of acknowledgement of anything, really. And it's getting increasingly like that, I think.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? It's kind of a sort of a club that's sort of resigned to the fact that its Football League fate is in the bin, and it's just like, you know, what's it going to be like next season? You know, going to a lot of sort of like really kind of poor grounds and stuff like that. But again, at the same time, kind of playing in a league where we're probably going to have a small budget compared to a lot of the bigger teams in there, and there are a lot of big teams in the conference. So it's not going to be any easier than it has been this season. So really, we need to take it incredibly seriously, or we can kind of see ourselves in this situation in sort of 12 months' time, really, unfortunately.
Yeah, you don't want to be like a York or a Darlington, do you?
No, exactly. And that's when, like, kind of you fear for the future of the club, which we are doing at the minute. But, like, kind of if we still can't, for some reason, perform in the conference, then you know that the club's sort of like not long for this world, if you like.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think with Hill, you know, I think there's no point beating the players up after every game. I can understand that. You know, he comes out, he's still fairly positive. He thinks we're going to have a decent season next year, and he can, you know, he can galvanise whoever's left and bring the players in to have a relatively successful season. Unfortunately, the fans just can't see it. You know, I can't see it. I don't think you two can see it. You know, any Scummy fan I speak to, you know, I think they kind of are expecting another really tough season next season. So, you know, I don't know. It's one of these where we've spoken about it with previous managers, where they're kind of, you're listening to them speak and it's kind of borderline delusional, you know. And I hope I'm wrong, and I hope he's right. I hope there is sort of positives for next season. But it is very difficult to see them at the minute with what's happening on the pitch, you know, what's happening off the pitch. And I think it's going to be tough. I think everyone realises it's going to be tough. But, you know, I think he has got a decent track record in League Two. I think we all know that. I think we were quite excited when he came in. Obviously, he had a lot of time this season to turn it round. You know, he's not just come in with sort of 10, 15 games to go. He's had, was it 30 games, something like that? And nothing's really improved. And that's my worry, really, with it, that, you know, he said he was going to do these things. He put plans in place. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, it's just not happened. And we've actually got worse. And you compare the two records, Cox and Hill, you know, I can't believe I'm saying it, but Cox did have the better record, and Hill at the moment, I think he's probably got the lowest win ratio in Scunthorpe United history. And, you know, it's not just him, but I think he does have to take some responsibility for it, because, you know, he's not been good enough, and he has had time. He's had January where he's managed to bring in some players. I don't think he probably got all the players he wanted. I don't think he you know, had a lot to pick from, and I think he's had to bring in players that were sort of unfit. I think Nuttall, you know, he's maybe just getting up to speed now. You know, there's other players, Feeney, for example. I think Tranmere were quite happy to get rid of him, thought his legs had gone a little bit, and I think that's probably the case. And you look, you know, all the players he's brought in, really, Pike, not really had a game for Shrewsbury, you know, you can see why. You know, I think he was kind of shopping in the bargain bin again, and I think unfortunately it's just not worked. But
there's going to be those, though. There's going to be those that are listening to this now and then say, well, you know, there isn't the budget for it. And, you know, and he's sort of, his hands are tied like that from above.
Yeah, and, you know, I can completely understand that. And I think, you know, he probably did what he could in January. Obviously, the embargo, I think that's hit the club harder than they thought it might. The key thing with that, it's not really given us any wiggle room. You know, you look back at other seasons and we've been able to spend a little bit in January to get the players in just to kind of escape. I know League One, we tried and failed, but we haven't been able to do that this season. And I think that's been key, really. Ultimately, they just haven't been good enough. The January signings just haven't worked.
Right, let's turn back to that interview then. So it was last week now, wasn't it, Matt? You were talking to Peter Swan about something else, and obviously you'd asked if you could have a few questions for this podcast. That was the understanding. Matt and I weren't available for that one, but it ended up being, you know, a full interview, didn't it? And, you know, that's gone out. Everybody's heard it now. What did you make of it this time around?
Yeah, you know, very difficult situation. obviously, the club find itself in at the moment. You know, we appreciate him coming on as always. And, you know, I don't know. It's very difficult because obviously there's a lot of questions the fans have at the moment with the ground and things like that. And, you know, I think, I don't know, they're always going to be asked, aren't they? Until the ground's transferred back to the club and things like that, people are going to be banging that drum. And, you know, that's fair enough. But I think overall, the tone of it, personally, for me, I do think, you know, he's obviously said that he's talking to interested parties, and there's two or three, maybe four interested parties at the moment that he's talking to. And for the first time, you know, I know he's mentioned that in the past, and I think he's mentioned it to Humberside that there's been people, you know, that have inquired about the availability of the club, but they've never had the money, things like that. For me, this time, having spoken to him, hearing what he said, I do think it might be a little bit different this time. I don't know. You know, this is just my opinion. I do think that he would be open. And I know he's said, you know, the club's for sale at the right price. I think he's always said he'd listen to offers for the club. And if there was someone that could put more money in, then he would step aside. But I do think that day is probably approaching. Again, just my opinion, but I just think from the tone of the interview and just, I don't know, I just got that vibe, really. You know, I might be miles off the mark there, but I do think, obviously, at the moment with what's happening on the pitch, you know, it's not great. The anger, he's been directed his way. You know, I think he does say that he takes responsibility for that. And, you know, he's kind of, he understands in a way that people are going to kind of vent their frustrations to him. But I do think as well, we're in a bit of a catch-22 situation because, you know, there are fans, and there definitely are fans that are staying away because he's in charge and he's still at the club. Whether, you know, if he left, and I think I said this recently, fairly recently on a couple of podcasts, that if he left, do I think we all of a sudden would have an influx of 1,000 fans? I'm not sure we would. You know, I don't think we would. I think we'd get some coming back, but I don't think it's as drastic as some people think it might be. I don't know. You know, I understand there's people with the reasons and they're saying they're going to stay away, they're not going to buy season tickets for next season. But if he's still here, I just can't see him stumping up the cash again to kind of cover the shortfall between, you know, the turnover and obviously what we spend it. And obviously adding a bit more to be able to get players and to be able to compete with some of those bigger teams in the National League. I just can't see him doing it, especially if he wants out as well. Because, you know, if you're going to try and sell something, you're just going to do the bare minimum to keep it ticking over. You know, if you've got to make up the shortfall, as he is doing this year, fair enough. But I just can't see him going over and above that, really. And if he's trying to sell, then, you know, you've seen it in many clubs in the past, you know, Hull, you know, they kind of, the owners there, they kind of stop spending, and, you know, that's fair enough, I think. However, you know, if the fans are going to stay away next season, if Peter Swan's still here, we're not going to have I don't think we're going to have a competitive team. I just can't see it. You know, I think he said that we need to sell 2,000 season tickets, but I'd be very surprised. You know, I think 1,000 would be really good. at the moment with what's happening. And we're at that situation now where obviously fans are voting with the feet. They're not saying they're saying they're not going to come back. But ultimately, I think that's going to have a knock-on effect on sort of the team that we can field next season. But yeah, I mean, it's one of these to keep an eye on because I do think things are happening behind the scenes. And we'll just have to see how it progresses. But I do think he probably is looking at it now and looking at ways that he can move on and leave it. Leave it to someone else to see what someone else can do. But we've seen these things in the past. They are quite drawn out. They do take time. But I do think that potentially the wheels are in motion for something to happen. Whereas in the past, when we've spoken to him in the past and he said there is interest or there has been interest, I think this time it might be a little bit more concrete. But again, that's just kind of the vibe I got from that chat. And I suppose time will tell. But yeah, it's certainly one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think so. It is sort of a weird situation, isn't it, really? Because we've come to this point where the club is seemingly going to go out of the Football League. Obviously the chairman kind of took over in 2014, wasn't it? And promised quite a lot of stuff. And sort of ultimately, this is where we are. We were promised Championship football and, in a new ground, and we've got sort of conference football and nachos at the catering point. So it's kind of a stark contrast to what we kind of thought we were going to get. It's disappointing, obviously, that, we didn't kind of manage to get to the Championship in the first 2 years where the money was genuinely thrown at it. And there was real ambition there. But obviously since then, we've been kind of struggling and kind of paying for that overspend. And yeah, I think for the club to move on, really, it's difficult, isn't it? Because we have a good relationship with the chairman and we have to kind of balance what we say, because obviously we'd like to maintain that relationship. And I think that in my personal opinion at this moment in time, kind of for the club to move forward, it would make sense. And it would make sense for a lot of Iron fans if the chairman did manage to kind of find a buyer and help that transition into kind of the next stage of the club's lifetime, if you like, or its life, really. Because clearly we're not really on an upward curve at the moment, and for whatever reason, and I'm sure there's a lot of different reasons, it's not worked and it's not working at the minute. And from kind of somebody looking in, from a fan looking in, it's not looking good. It's looking a bit of a mess, isn't it? To be brutally honest. And I think, for the club to progress and for it to kind of, I don't know if you want to say rise again. I don't want to kind of label us as a Phoenix club, really, because that's quite kind of drastic, isn't it? But I think that for us to kind of regroup and sort of start moving on kind of an upward trajectory, really, it would make sense to have different owners. And I realise that's something that does not happen overnight and probably won't be in place for next season. But, for us to kind of start looking forwards again, it just seems like we need something fresh, a new direction, new ideas, kind of, a new philosophy, a new strategy, something like that, because it is apparent with the evidence that's kind of been presented to us over the past sort of, 6-7 years, really, that this hasn't worked, unfortunately, and it's no longer working, and it doesn't seem to be tenable. Obviously, I want to be proved wrong. We're sure we all do. We want to see it turn around, but it's not, has it? And we kind of like had that statement from the chairman, sort of like, what was it, towards the end of this year? End of last year, if I'm right, where he basically said he held his hand up and said, I've got quite a few things wrong and things like that, which was, which was seemed genuine. And I think kind of it brought a little bit of a reprieve from Scunthorpe United fans, and kind of like me included, I think. And I think that we kind of thought, let's see if we can push on, because we've realised that we're clearly not doing something right, that kind of the relationship with the fans is maybe not where it should be. And obviously the effort was made to bring in kind of Simon Elliott and things like that. And obviously now we've just found out that's not really worked out. And obviously that was kind of a blow to fans, because there was some optimism in that, given kind of... Simon's sort of business acumen and his affinity with the club and kind of his history with the club as well. And he was really active speaking to fans on social media, which was obviously really useful. Obviously, that had its pitfalls at the same time. But I think that, kind of now that's kind of, we've moved past that and Simon has resigned, unfortunately. It kind of saps some of that sort of that reprieve and that enthusiasm kind of away from Scunthorpe fans, and away kind of like the view of the club. So I think that, personally, I think now, this is probably the first time I've said it kind of anywhere, like on the podcast or on Twitter or anything like that I think it probably does make sense for the chairman to kind of, sort of hand over the reins, or if we can find a seller, you know, kind of to start that transition period into moving away from his tenure, if you like, just because I can't see a positive future with the club under the current regime, unfortunately. So yeah, that's where I am at the minute, and it's disappointing because you know, I've always kind of supported the chairman despite the fact that, you know, obviously everything's not seemed to be working properly, but I think that, you know, that's where I am at the minute, and a lot of Scunthorpe fans probably think the same thing. Yeah, it's sad, it's unfortunate, but we are in dire straits at the moment.
Yeah, you mentioned Simon there, let's go on to that ever so slightly, because obviously he was brought in a couple of months ago, wasn't he? Non-executive director on the board, seemingly over the weekend after the Harrogate game. He's resigned from that post. We're recording this on the 28th of March. It's around dinner time. There's been nothing official from the club yet, but there was that post in the, it was in the fans group, wasn't it, on Facebook, I think. So, I mean, there's not an awful lot that, you know, we can discuss really, because there's, you know, we haven't had the club side of it yet, have we? All we've seen is that post, like everybody else has, but seemingly he's no longer in place on the board or even at the club at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing. Obviously, it's been short-lived, hasn't it? I think, what is it, 3 months, 4 months, something like that. You know, I hoped that he would, you know, stay a bit longer. He's obviously got his reasons for that. But, yeah, I think you're right. Until we hear the club side, you know, it's very difficult to comment on that. And I think, ultimately, with these things, we're not gonna know 100%, because, you know, I think both sides will probably, like we've seen with managers and things like that, you know, both sides will probably remain fairly tight-lipped. I don't think, you know, you're going to get Simon coming out and giving his side. And I don't really think you're going to get much from the club either, apart from, you know, an acknowledgement of his work that he's done in the short time he's been at the club. And, you know, I think that dialogue with the fans was really important. I think he's obviously been updating people via the Facebook and various other, you know, Twitter and things like that, which was nice, you know, to have that sort of inside scoop, if you like, on what's happening at the moment, what's been discussed in these board meetings, and the various other little bits, you know, things like the scoreboard. You know, I personally prefer to spend money on a player or two rather than a new scoreboard. But, you know, things like that. It's issues that people do have, and he was responding to those, and, you know, that was really appreciated. But, yeah, just disappointed with how it's all ended, really. Whether, you know, the Facebook post, again, you know, I would like that to come from sort of an official channel. I'm not sure why that's not come from the club as yet. But I think it would have been better for it to come from the club and, you know, rather than a Facebook post. But, you know, Simon's obviously chosen that route to update the fans. I know that's where he's been updating most of the other topics, things like that. So, you know, if he wants to do that, then, you know, he's within his rights to do that. But I just think, given what's happening at the moment, I think it probably would have been better from the club and from one of the official channels. But, you know, that's where we are at the moment. Obviously, it's disappointing to lose him because, you know, it sounds like he's got some sponsorships lined up for next season, and he's been doing some work there on the commercial side, which I think did need some work. So that is a shame. And, you know, I know Neil's in there now as well on the board, and I'm sure he will become that voice, updating the fans as to what's going on, things like that, which is great. But yeah, it's a little bit disappointing how it's all ended, really, because I think everyone did have high hopes, really, for that relationship, and just not really worked out for whatever reason. And whether we find out why remains to be seen. But it's a shame, because I think everyone's got a lot of respect for Simon and wanted him to do well in that role, and unfortunately that's just not happened. And you know, it's just something else, isn't it, that after the game, you know, we've been beaten, and then the news comes out, it's just all negative at the moment, unfortunately.
Yeah, and obviously that negativity continues with some of the off-field incidents as well, isn't it? And I think maybe let's just end with that one. Obviously the big talking point at the minute amongst fans, and I think it is worth a mention on here, really, is stewarding. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's as I said, you know, I think we've spoken about this earlier on in the season, and I think it was coming to a head. It was always going to come to a head at some point. You know, I think given the way the stewards are handling it, you know, I think it's been a little bit over the top. I do agree that, you know, that the lad on the weekend, you know, to run on the pitch, whether he swung for the steward or not, I don't know, but he was kind of approaching him in an aggressive way, you know, completely out of order, not needed. However, I do think the way the stewards have been acting this season, you know, carrying handcuffs, you know, being quite aggressive, actually, in their kind of demeanour, if you like, at times, I just don't think it's helping the situation. I think we're at a point now where there's a stewarding team, which are obviously outsourced, you know, they're a security team that are brought in on a match day. I just think we're at the situation now where they're coming. I'm not saying they're looking for trouble, but they're coming. And unfortunately, because it's been building up week in, week out, there's a group of fans that obviously are trying to kind of wind them up, I think, as well on a match day. And I think we're in that situation now where we're going to see these flashpoints more and more between now and the end of the season. I think the big thing is obviously the use of the handcuffs. You know, it didn't quite sit right. Well, it didn't sit right with me anyway when I've seen them in recent weeks at games carrying handcuffs. I just think, again, I don't think they need to be visible for a start. I don't think they need to be used at all. You know, I've never seen it at a football match. Obviously, police, fair enough. If the police come in and they deem it to be, you know, an arrestable offence or whatever, that's fine. You know, they're able to use handcuffs and that's not a problem. But these guys, you know, that they may be trained in using handcuffs. And I think on the security company's website, it does say they are trained. However, you know, they're not particularly licensed to use them. The SIA do not endorse the use. They don't say that they can't be used, but they don't endorse the use of the handcuffs in these situations. And I think there were enough stewards there. You know, I think there's videos going around where there's maybe five or six stewards in the vicinity. And I think those stewards could have dealt with it in a lot better manner than they did. You know, I think the cable ties and handcuffs approach is just completely over the top, and as I say, it's not something I've ever seen from stewards. And I think it's a worrying kind of development, and not just at the club. I think you look at the P&O Ferries recently, you know, when they had security with handcuffs actually removing people from the boat in Hull and wherever else it was, Dover down south. And you know, I just don't think that's right. I think it's absolutely disgraceful treatment. And, you know, I think the lad was in the wrong, and I completely understand that he needs to be ejected. But there is, for me, you know, there's a certain amount of force that's required to remove someone from the stadium, bearing in mind this lad, probably 18, something like that. You know, he's not a big lad. He's not, you know, 6'5" bloke. You know, he's an 18-year-old lad, and I just think it was completely over the top. But it's been coming, you know, and I do think there's going to be further incidents between now and the end of the season that we're going to be speaking about, because it's just one of those. It's been building up, and you know, the stewards are not helping themselves at all. And yes, you know, some of the behaviour from a certain amount of fans isn't acceptable. You know, you shouldn't be going on the pitch. But yeah, I think let's kind of, we've got to stop this sooner rather than later, because I just think the longer it goes on and the continued use of the handcuffs, I just think what you're seeing in the crowd and sort of the pushback from the fans is going to get worse. And, you know, probably got some big away followings coming up in the next few weeks. And you obviously got your Mansfield, and I think they've sold out, and I'd expect Hartlepool to do that as well. You know, there's going to be a lot going on in the stadium, and it's going to be, I think it's going to boil over, to be honest, and you don't want to see it, and it's got to be a safe environment for everyone. But I think the stewards are making it worse, unfortunately, and it's something the club have got to get a hold of really quickly, because it's just not right. And I suppose the other thing as well, we've seen a number of times this season away fans coming onto the pitch. You know, I think obviously the guy that ran on at the weekend, quite aggressive in the way he did it. But we've seen away fans coming onto the pitch, approaching our players. I'm thinking of O'Malley when there were fans sort of in his face. I know they didn't try to attack him or anything like that, but, you know, they were trying to provoke him. And they just get pushed back into the away end. So, you know, we've got, I don't know, some games this season, there's probably been 20, 30 stewards in front of the Doncaster Road end or within the crowd, you know, controlling maybe 20, 30 lads. And then we've got away fans, as usual, doing what they want, running on the pitch and sort of squaring up to our players. I just think, you know, the treatment's all wrong. You know, you're supposed to look after your home fans. And I know some of them have been out of order, but, you know, I think the you compare the two, and away fans have got away with things really lightly this season, and home fans seem to be getting clamped down on. And yeah, as I say, I just think the whole incident was really unsavoury. Really, don't want to see it. And yeah, as I say, I just think it's going to get worse before it gets better. Unfortunately, unless the club make a stand on this, and you know they've got to get the security firm in and. You know, I just don't think it's acceptable. But my opinion, but I think shared by many, really.
Yeah, and I think we'll leave it there. So, yeah, certainly on the field matters not getting any better, seemingly off the pitch as well. We'll come back. We'll do another one soon, I think. We're just sort of keeping an eye on things. I mean, there's not long left, is it? I think, what is it, about 7 games left, something like that. So, you know, we'll have to come back soon because I think, let's be honest, relegation is incoming, isn't it? So we'll sort of do a lot to cover that when that does happen. But yeah, thank you for listening to this one. We'll see you on the next one.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.